You're listening to highlights from the Creative Processes interview with Nicola Lees, director of the Aspen Art Museum. This podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
It's a complicated time to think about how we can slow down and be still and bring a brilliant group of people together to do something that feels like it has purpose and can be productive. And when I was bringing up that idea of a hinge generation, I think it's impossible to even know how we will look back and reflect on this time and these moments. So we are very invested in enabling people to build new relationships. And actually what we found from these past gatherings in Aspen is that those are the things that people still talk about from 40, 50, 60 years ago. And you were also asking about a relationship with the environment. I think Maya Lin, who's coming to give a keynote lecture, is someone who is very invested in that conversation. Someone who is a brilliant artist, architect, but also someone who can really think through complicated scientific data and predictions of the future, while also being able to harness this very sort of poetic, philosophical side. And it will be her first trip back to Aspen since 1983. And so that is something that we are thinking about. We also are working with the Serpentine Gallery and Hans-Ulrich Oberst on the keynote lectures. Francis Kerr is also coming to talk about the sustainability of his architectural practice and how that navigates the world differently. We're also working with Storefront for Architecture, who have done this brilliant swamp project the last 2 years. This year, there is a focus really on the relationship between the question that we have posed for the retreat, which is really this idea of our relationship with technology and identifying our relationship with the world and how we want to be present at the moment. Commitment and take a leap of trust. For us, I think it really is about trust and commitment. And I don't think that's necessarily changed over the years. And then as we're working on that, you know, obviously we're very much invested in how we can engage an audience, spark the curiosity that people are looking for. But I think the most important thing often is how we can spark that curiosity in ourselves and as a kind of way of working, which I think is the most important framework as an institution, that the institution is also wanting to learn and evolve constantly and isn't a static place. And I think that's also particularly coming from an opportunity of not being a collecting institution as well, that we are sort of ever evolving, ever changing.
Yeah,
I think it's a really brilliant question. And it is interesting about how one can think about how that really needs to be at the core of what we're doing and how we're thinking about how an institution can grow and how institutions need to change over the next 5 to 10 or 20 years. And it's complicated, but it's a really brilliant question. We did a great show when I was at NYU with Jason Harata, which was really about exactly what you've been talking about. I think the other thing that's so fascinating is actually when you see artists, even how they collaborate and work with each other and edit each other's work or support each other. We've been thinking about with AIR, we're also really imagining it as a support structure as well. You know, it very much will have this public moment where it will feel like a festival, but it really is part of the institution and thinking about how artists work together. I was talking to Charlotte Burns recently about how with Anonymous as a Woman and all of the other reports that she's been working on, one of the main questions when they were asking artists about what they need, often what's come back is community. And I think that is something that we need to think through how an institution can support that creative process as well, of how everyone is working together on something. And it can also sit outside of the dominant narratives of this idea of a single artist in the studio. Yeah, I think that in many ways, what we have been thinking about is really also wanting to invest in this space. We're doing a beautiful screening with a new film by a brilliant Thai filmmaker called Apichapong, which is called On Blue. We're going to be screening this very early in the morning, and the film is really about our kind of subconscious experience from like dusk to dawn. It will then be followed by a talk by Jameson Webster, who I mentioned earlier, who's a brilliant psychoanalyst based in New York City. I think the reason I'm bringing this up, though, is that he very much spoke to us recently about this moment sometimes between the conscious and the subconscious mind. And sometimes this moment when the subconscious mind knows something, but doesn't really want to have to articulate it. It doesn't want to have to explain it. And I think that the thing that is important right now is that we're delving deeper into that, the mystery of that space. You know, I think it even came up when we had the brilliant painting exhibition curated by Alison Katz last year, and we were very much thinking about Pompeii and what had been buried and unearthing what has been buried from a psychoanalytical place. But I think that with all the things that are going to move very fast in the next 5 to 10 years, the one thing that I want to invest in, and I think hopefully the institution will be able to invest in, is this more mysterious place of the unknown and the unexplainable, and that friction between the conscious and the subconscious mind, or the mystery, that mysterious space. And I think that when we were able to sit in front of a work of art and really have an experience that feels deeply connected to us and meaningful, it is often in a place for me that isn't easily articulated. We spoke briefly about how you're an artist and you have many different facets to your practice as an artist, but also I come from a place more of making and creating than from an analytical space of historical or art criticism. So I think that we're wanting to almost double down on the things that aren't so explainable and aren't so known, and also invest more in enabling us to be in a space with artworks or having more time to read and think differently, not to sound old-fashioned. Thing that was just, Alvaro Enrique is coming this summer as well, who's a brilliant, one of the most prolific Mexican novelists of his generation. And he wrote an incredible book called Sudden Death, which starts with Anne Boleyn, also tells the incredible history of the game of tennis, but also really, and surprisingly, is about Caravaggio and Caravaggio's paintings. And so I think for us, really thinking about a novel that can bring all of those things together, really the space of hallucination and dreaming that we were talking about, and how he's very close with Adrián Villarrocas, who is also going to be doing a show with us in 2026 and is coming this summer to be in conversation with him. So there is a lot of overlaps between how we're working with AIR and the exhibition program and the institution as a whole. We have been pilot programming over the last few years, but with this year, we're delighted that Sara Imran Walker has allowed us to use the title of her new novel, Life as No One Knows It. And this is really something that is going to become a theme that will work across both a 3-day retreat for about 30 to 40 brilliant minds, and also a 3-day public festival that will take place at the end of July in Aspen across multiple venues around the city and also in the landscape. Sara's book is really thinking about how we define life, or how we can radically challenge our definitions of life forms. And as I mentioned earlier, we've been working with a core group of artists, which include Paul Chan, who has since 2018 been making an AI portrait of himself called Paul Prime, and also Zoe Hitzig, who's a brilliant economist and poet, and also has recently been working at OpenAI and really thinking about the future of our relationship with technology. The 3-day retreat is really going to be an opportunity to have brilliant minds come together, ask a specific question, and at the end of the 3 days, we'll also be working towards producing a white paper, as well as investing in more research around that topic for the future. And then the 3-day public festival is in many ways a response to those conversations, but also an opportunity to open it up to more of an immersive relationship with the performances and commissions that we are working on, particularly a large-scale commission with Matthew Barney, which is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime incredible performance.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to these highlights. To listen to the latest episodes or learn more about participating in exhibitions or interviews, click on subscribe. Thank you for listening.